good morning. It is so good to see all of you this morning on this fifth Sunday after Pentecost. We are glad that you're with us this morning, and we want to welcome everybody, and we want to welcome those that may be listening online. We had an issue. If anybody was trying to get on the church website this past week, we had an issue, and it was down for, I don't know, 4 or 5 days. And thankfully, they got it fixed. It was in the middle of changing some things on it, bringing it updated, because we were using a very old template for our website. And so we kind of brought that up, changed the colors. And just kind of little information there. A little bit, we're going to be continuing our series, looking at that second part of Joseph that we looked at last week. And we will continue by talking about clinging to hope in difficult times. So let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria this morning. Let's join together there for our call to worship in our bulletin. Even when God seems far away,
we will put our trust in God's unfailing love.
Even when our souls bear the pain of earthly trials,
we will trust in God's goodness and mercy.
Even when we question God's presence in our lives, well, let's join together there, thinking about God's faithfulness, blessed assurance, and then in a little bit, how great thou art. So, 416 for our first one this morning. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest, I am my Savior, am happy. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer this morning. God of all comfort, embrace us in our need. As we enter this sacred space, you know our deepest needs, and you help us embrace our honest hopes. Quicken our spirits that we may rise above the storms that threaten us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. We're going to go to our next hymn, How Great Thou Art, 111. We're only doing two verses because that's how Carla's got it set up in the piano. We're going to be doing verse 1 and 3. Change that on my sheet because she's got two verses it says there, so I will make that change. Well, we're going to invite our kids if they would make their way down this morning. If you were laying in an inner tube floating along, which a lot of people do,
Because it's not as deep in that area, so you can play and do all kinds of things. Did anybody else go on vacation? Not yet? Okay. Sometimes it's so busy that sometimes it's hard to get in a vacation. But it's fun when we go on vacation, isn't it? Yeah, you get to go, because I remember when I was your age, we went all kinds of places. All over the United States. And some of them I was so young that I don't even remember where we went. Does anybody go somewhere where you don't remember going there when you were younger? You do? Yeah, they said I went to the Alamo, but I don't remember that. So, in Texas. That's in Texas, the Alamo is. So, yeah. So, did anybody else do anything special for Father's Day? Did you take Dad out to eat? Huh? Good, good. That's what we did too. So, yeah. Jody took me out to eat so that I didn't have to cook. And we're cooking on the grill. And but that was a good time. So I enjoyed that. We went to an Italian restaurant in Troy. Good. I always eat too much. So, we didn't get to talk a little bit about anything last week because of, you know, what you guys did, and then you went down afterwards. But we're talking about Joseph. So, Bryn, I think you're the oldest. How old are you now? 11. Okay, so you got 2 more years, you're going to be a teenager. Get that 13. But Joseph was 17. Joseph was 17. No, not quite an adult. It's close. It's close. Now, probably some of the folks, when they were growing up, they probably thought 17 was an adult. Because they were probably working on the farm or different things at that time, but then they could have been doing that when they were 11. 10 and 12 and things like that, because I was already. But Joseph was 17 and he made his brothers so angry. How many brothers did Joseph have? 12 brothers. Okay. 12 brothers. Can you imagine? I can't imagine having 12 brothers. Now, my grandpa was one of 13. So, guess what he had? 12 siblings. Because they were brothers and sisters that he had. So, that was a big family too, my grandpa did. But 12 brothers, and they were all mad at you. That would not be fun, would it? You know what they did? They threw him in a well. You know what a well is? It's got water in it. Now, it's kind of like a cistern, so it collects water. And wells back in that day collected water, too, every time it rained. And they threw him in there because they were mad with him, or was mad about him because of what he kept bragging about. One day, you're going to bow down to me, and I'm going to be all-powerful. Why would he say something like that? And that's one thing about the story that I never fully understood. Why Joseph would tell those dreams. But you know what? Because when he said that, it was because he had dreams about that. Have you ever had dreams about your brothers or sisters? Or your mom or dad? Or grandparents? Yeah. Sometimes we have dreams and we can't remember them, can we? That seems to happen to me a lot. Now, there's been some dreams when I woke up. It was like clear as day. It was like I was just there. But I really wasn't. It was all in my head. And Joseph had these 2 different dreams that he was going to be ruling one day, and his brothers were going to be bowing down to him. That's when they got mad. They got jealous. And Dad got him the best looking, most colorful robe. Yeah, you remember that story, don't you? Yeah. And so, guess what? Joseph got taken away from the family. He was all by himself. He was scared, just 17. And a guy by the name of Potiphar, who was kind of a governor in an area in Egypt, took him and said, here, you're going to work for our house. So Joseph did that, and God blessed him while he was there and watched over him. And God was with him. And that's the key thing that keeps coming up in the Joseph book. Now, we're going to talk more about it next Sunday. Well, maybe not. But Joseph eventually did, guess what? He became second in command over all of Egypt under Pharaoh. And guess what his brothers came before him did? Yes! Yes! Good job, bud! You were listening over here! Yes! They bowed down to him. But you know what? God put Joseph there because a great famine came into the land. And it lasted 7 years. That means there was a drought, no rain. And all the crops dried up. So the 7 years before, they saved all as much of the grain as they could and put them in bins so that during the 7 years when everything was bad, they could eat and make it through it. And that's what God did through the whole story, how he turned everything around and protected Joseph and protected God's people. And God looks out for us too in our lives in varieties of ways. Through our parents and grandparents and other folks that help to watch over us. Because God cares about each one of us. Just like God cared and took care of Joseph. And guess what? God took care of Joseph's mean brothers. Oh! Brothers. Because that's God. Because God is love. And God cares about everybody. Alright? You can head down. I know I talked a little longer there. Trying to wrap a story for 2 weeks into 1 week. Five minutes.
Well, as we go through our time of prayer, maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share with us this morning before we go to prayer. And so we're going to let you have a chance to do that. So somebody this morning, who wants to begin? Okay. Bye, Grant. Bye, buddy. Unspoken. Somebody else. Yes, I saw that, and we were just talking about him the other. Is that the one we were talking about?
Yep.
As soon as I saw that online, I was like, "Oh my gosh!" Yeah, we want to remember the Hartzell family there with the loss of the. He was the founder, wasn't he? Yeah, yeah. Someone else. Yep. Oh, yes. Did you have a name? I can't remember. Grace. Wasn't it Grace?
Winston.
Oh, Winston. Thank you. Yeah, there was another one about a Grace. But yeah. Yes. Somebody we knows that told us about a friend of theirs and their son got hit by a car in pretty serious condition. And so we want to remember Winston. Yeah, go ahead.
She had the two fractures, but everything
Okay, so lots of them there. Winston, Cindy, Don, Brenda, Bretta, Greg, Bill and Shauna, and then our nation. So, somebody else? Anyone else? Yeah. Yes, and it was. And thank you for saying something, because I forgot to write that down. I was going to thank everybody that helped serve at the funeral meal there and also made things for it. So, yes, appreciate that. Someone else? Okay. Well, we do want to remember Don. It does have that UTI. It was kind of got, it was real serious there. He's starting to recover some, but we really need to pray about him with the rehab and getting him up and moving. I usually don't get specific like that, but yeah, I won't say more about that, but please pray about that and everything going on there, because I'm concerned about his recovery and everything. So, so there's various ones that we have there that you can pray about, or maybe something or someone that you would like to pray when the music is going there. I'll give you a chance to pray from some of those, and then I'll come and close this out. Lord, we're just so thankful for your goodness in our lives. We're thankful for the rain that we received on and off this past week, watering the crops, and we see them growing rather quickly here lately, and we're just thankful for all of that, your blessings, your goodness, your mercy through all of that. And Lord, we're thankful that we are able to gather and worship. Lord, we're thinking about those that are not with us today, and many of them traveling on vacation and different things. So we just ask that you will just watch over them, give them your traveling mercies, help them to recover and be refreshed and enjoy their time with their family and friends and loved ones, and bring them back safely to be with us in the weeks to come. And so we're thankful for that. And Lord, we do lift up the various needs that were mentioned there, specifically for Winston today. God, we ask for your mercy, your healing touch and strength for him. For Cindy, Lord, for her recovery, God, thank you for what has begun. And we ask that you would continue to do that, Lord. Lord, we lift up Don this morning with that UTI and those broken ribs. God, we just pray for healing. And Lord, we pray that the antibiotics that he's on will help him to recover quickly and get that infection out of his system there. And Lord, we lift up Brenda to you, God. Lord, we just ask that you will just watch over her during this time. I know she's probably very much missing Don and him not taking her and everything. We just ask for strength for her and your healing touch. Lord, we lift up Bretta, God. We just pray your continued healing touch and recovery for her today. For Greg, Lord, I have not heard yet, but I pray that they were able to get some answers this past week and that they can get to doing what they need to do. We continue to pray for wisdom. We continue to pray for your healing touch and grace and strength for him. Lord, we lift up Bill and Shauna, God. We ask that you would continue to give them strength, your healing grace and touch for them. Lord, we lift up the Hertzel family, God, with the loss of their grandfather and dad. Lord, we just ask for your comfort, your strength, your grace for the family during this time of loss. Lord, we continue to lift up Jody's sister, Jill. We ask that you would continue to guide and direct as she's going to be having that that test coming up here on her DNA to find out if she has to have chemo or if she qualifies to have that targeted stuff, Lord. I don't even know the exact word to say, but you know. And we just pray that you will guide there and be with her through all of that as they are working to do the best course of treatment there. And we thank you for that. Lord, we lift up our monthly, those on our monthly list, Lord. So many of them that are battling cancer and other illnesses, Lord, we ask for your healing touch, your grace, and your strength for each of them. Lord, we lift up these unspoken needs, the two that were mentioned, and maybe others today that came in with a need that maybe voiced that during the time of prayer. We just ask that you would meet the needs, work in those situations, extend your grace, and we're thankful for that as we agree together in praying for those needs too. And Lord, we're just so thankful. We continue to lift up our nation, God, and draw your church back to you and back to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And we pray that you will continue to lead and guide our nation, Lord, as we, coming up on this next weekend, we'll be celebrating and praying specifically about that and for that. And so we're thankful today. We ask that you will continue to guide and bless the rest of our service and time. Lord, as we read your word, as we break it open and talk about it for our lives today, may you just bless, may you anoint, give us ears to hear, and help us to grow and have faith and hope in the midst of the difficulties we face sometimes in life. And we're thankful for all of those things now as we ask them in Jesus' name, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for praying with us today. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. Again, thank you for your faithfulness, as I say every week. But it is through your faithfulness that God continues to use this church to be a blessing, not only for those that come and worship and gather here, but also to reach out into our community and world. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Well, let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. Bountiful God, in tribute and thanks for your manifold blessings, we offer you what we have in certain hope of your abiding love. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. So we are going to be continuing our series in, this will be the fourth message. It's kind of part two of part three. And because we're kind of continuing the story of Joseph there. And today we're going, the last part of Genesis 50 that we're going to read is what we read at the end last week, because I wanted to keep that in there. But we're going to read a new section in the middle there in Genesis 41. That gives us a little bit different, more insight into what's going on in the Joseph story there. And it's going to focus a little bit on what I'm going to, the next 2 points that we're going to look at today. Genesis 41, 39 through 54. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all of this known to you," i.e. in a dream, "no one is as intelligent and as wise as you are. You will be in charge of my kingdom, and all my people will obey your command. Only as the enthroned king will I be greater than you." Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Know this, I've given you authority over the entire land of Egypt." Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it in Joseph's hand. He dressed him in linen cloths and put a gold necklace around his neck. He put Joseph on the chariot of his second in command, and everyone in front of him cried out, "Attention!" So Pharaoh installed him over the entire land of Egypt. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh. No one will do anything or go anywhere in all of the land of Egypt without your permission." Pharaoh renamed Joseph Zephanath-Paneah and married him to Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of Heliopolis. Then Joseph assumed control of the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he began to serve Pharaoh, Egypt's king. When he left Pharaoh's court and traveled through the entire land of Egypt, during the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentiful. He collected all of the food during the 7 years of abundance in the land of Egypt and stored the food in cities. In each city, he stored the food from the fields surrounding it. Joseph amassed grain like the sands of the sea. There was so much that he stopped trying to measure it because it was beyond measuring. Before the years of famine arrived, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of Heliopolis, gave birth to 2 sons for Joseph. Joseph named the oldest Manasseh because he said, "God has helped me forget all my troubles and everyone in my father's household." He named the second Ephraim because he said, "God has given me children in the land where I've been treated harshly." The 7 years of abundance in the land came to an end, and 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. The famine struck every country, but the entire land of Egypt had bread. When Joseph's brothers realized their father was now dead, they said, "What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and wants to pay us back seriously for all the terrible things we did to him?" So they approached Joseph and said, "Your father gave orders before he died, telling us this is what you should say to Joseph. Please forgive your brother's sins and misdeeds, for they did terrible things to you. Now please forgive the sins of your servants of your father's God." Joseph wept when he spoke to them. His brothers wept too, fell down in front of him, and said, we're here as your slaves. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I God? You meant to harm me, but God meant to bring good out of it by preserving the lives of many people as we see today. Now don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your descendants. So he comforted them and set their minds at rest. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word this morning. And that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, I told you I was going to share a few more dad jokes like I shared last week. So I'm going to share two of them. And Jim, you can give me a rating after service whether you liked them or not. So, okay. Did you hear about the guy who drank invisible ink? He's at the hospital waiting to be seen. Oh, I'm already in trouble on that one. Oh, you're going to love this one too. If you moaned about the last one. Did you hear about the wig thief who escaped from prison? Police are combing the area to find him. There you go. See, it got you laughing, even though you think they're corny. I want to continue talking about, as we look at Joseph here, kind of part two, presence and grace to endure. Okay, like I said last week, life has a way of taking us to places we never expected. Sometimes it's wonderful and thrilling. At other times, it's painful and challenging. As I mentioned last week and with the kids, Joseph was 17 years old when his brothers threw him in the cistern, sold him as a slave. He was falsely accused, wrongfully in prison, forgotten. And all of this brought Joseph to this moment in our reading today, 13 years later. He is now 30. He carries out the economic program needed to prevent starvation in Egypt and Goshen. During 7 years of plenty, they save and store grain so that they face 7 years of famine with provision. Last Sunday, we saw how God's work or God's presence and grace was at work in Joseph's lives and in our trials that we go through today. If you'll remember the first 3 points that I talked about, God's presence is greater than our pain. God's grace helps us remain faithful as we endure. And God gives meaning to our suffering. Now today we're going to continue drawing insights, and I'm going to focus these 2 points on the names of the 2 sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim. So, number 4, if you're following along, God's grace frees us to forgive. God's grace frees us to forgive. Here's the thing I want you to see there. Forgiveness doesn't play God. Forgiveness doesn't play God. Okay, so I'm sure all of us at one time played God. Maybe when we were growing up, we saw our parents or our grandparents play God with the issue of forgiveness. Now, you might be saying, wait a minute, what are you talking about, Jason? What do you mean playing God? Well, have you ever heard your parents or grandparents say, well, I ain't going to forgive them. What they did to me, I'll just show them. Or some variation of that. It's interesting that the story of Joseph is kind of like narrated along by our narrator and tells us what's going on in his life, what's happening, And then all of a sudden, there's this little interruption in the narrative. And it's interjected in there that Joseph was married by someone, Pharaoh had appointed for him, and that they had two kids. So anytime you see in Old Testament narratives, or even sometimes in the gospel stories, when the narrative is just kind of going along and all of a sudden it's interrupted and something is added in there, it's usually for something that's for emphasis. And that's what we see going on here. Because Joseph takes a wife and he has two sons. The first is Manasseh, which in a simple way, basically in Hebrew, means he makes me forget. He makes me forget. Manasseh's name reveals that Joseph, through everything, and we didn't even look at all the details of it, just touched on it briefly last week. Joseph has forgotten what his brothers had done to him even before he confronts them and saves them. And when I was working this week on there, I was trying to decide, should I say that Joseph forgot about all that pain and suffering and hurt before they came into his life again unexpectedly? Or had he forgiven them before everything was restored? I think there's something important there in that. Joseph, and let me just go back and say it. Why? Because Joseph had the power to execute every one of his brothers, and nobody in Egypt would have said a word. Think about that. Now, I know we don't have that kind of power, so we can't do that. But instead, when they arrive, and there's two parts to the arrival. We read the second part. The first part, when he first confronts them, it says that Joseph became so emotional that he dismissed himself and went into another room. And it says, the narrator tells us that Joseph's brothers and the Egyptian servants could all hear Joseph weeping in the other room when his brothers were before him again. And I personally believe that in that moment, Joseph had to make a decision what he was going to do there. Instead, he weeps. He embraces them. He asks about his younger brother that was not born yet. Joseph never even knew who that was. And then eventually came along, Benjamin. And now they're back, and their dad has passed, and they're afraid that Joseph's going to get him. But what does he do? Again, Joseph weeps. He embraces. He forgives. Why? Here's the point. And Joseph says it very plainly in the story. Because Joseph understood he is not God. What did he say to him? Don't be afraid. Am I God? What were they expecting? They were expecting him to get him. But what does he do? He forgives. He's not playing God. He's not playing God. Forgiveness doesn't play God. The other part of that is forgiveness means releasing the right to revenge. So both of these are happening. Both of these are happening at the same time. When Joseph finally confronts his brothers, yes, he refuses to play God. And by that I mean he refuses to be their judge, jury, and punisher. Even though as the second command in all of Egypt, he had more than the right to be able to do that. But what does Joseph do? He releases the right to take vengeance. He trusts God to be just and to make things right. And God does through that entire story, going all the way back to when he was first thrown in that cistern. God's grace frees us to forgive, to release, and even to forget. Wow, that's a blessing there. That's a blessing. Second thing is God's grace can make us fruitful in our place of affliction. In our place of affliction. What am I saying there? Well, we see in the story that God brings blessing in the place of misfortune. What's the place? Well, it's the land of Egypt. And that's where he was eventually led to. That's where he suffered. That's where he was accused. That's where he was forgotten. That's where he felt forsaken. And everything that happened. And if you read the story of Joseph, it kind of goes like this. What's this? Going up is success. God promotes. God blesses. Not only does God bless Joseph, but God blesses every household and group of people that's around him when God blesses him. And then something happens. Somebody accuses him. Somebody does something. Isn't that somewhat what happens in life now? Granted, we've never been thrown in the cistern. If you've ever been thrown in a cistern by your brother or sister, you tell me about that after the service, because I'd like to hear that story. Yeah. Now, my sisters used to chase me with a yardstick when I was down in the basement tormenting them because their boyfriends had come over. And I sit on the steps and could look over and see what was going on. And they'd chase me and go, get out of here. Go on back upstairs. Now, I went through some of that, but, you know. But that's not the same thing. And I'm going to share this one, too. This is kind of funny. This isn't really an affliction, but it's tough on my ego. You know, I did the wedding this past weekend. And Michael had posted some pictures on Facebook, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they're wonderful. And there's one picture of me standing with them, and I think we were either doing the vows or rings. And all I could see is this shinier spot right back here starting to show through in the picture. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to see that. But hey, I made it way beyond my brothers. So, you know. And but God brings blessing in the places we are at where misfortune happens at times. Joseph is 30 years old, 13 years after his enslavement. And did you catch the name of Joseph's second son? Ephraim. Literally, it means God has made me fruitful or fertile in the land of my suffering. And in our translation, they said, gave me children. And that's the idea that's coming through there. God was with Joseph, which we talked about last week and saw, and prospered him while in Egypt. And notice Joseph wasn't fruitful after all the suffering was over. He was fruitful in the midst of it. Isn't that life sometimes? We are blessed. God has provided. Things are going great. And then sometimes things happen. Things that arise in our lives that we don't want to face or whatever they may be. You know, and difficulties, struggles, trials, troubles, whatever you want to say. And God has a way of making us fruitful in places of misfortune or times of misfortune. And you know what that is? That is God's grace in the midst of that. Why? Because God doesn't simply restore us. God brings something better for us. God didn't simply restore Joseph, even though when we read that story and think, whoa, he was made second in command over everybody. But what did God do? God used Joseph for something greater, to save his people and in the process to save the land of Egypt. Sometimes we think healing means returning to life as it was. However, God often has something greater in store for us when we go through difficulties in life. God brings fruit out of brokenness. God brings comfort out of pain. God brings hope out of suffering. God brings ministry out of misery. And the places where we've suffered often become places where God uses us the most. God has a purpose for every place, every pit, every prison, and even every palace. God has grace for every position, servant, prisoner, governor. Nothing in our lives catches God by surprise. Betrayal, lies, pits, famines. God brings redemption through suffering. And I could go on another 15 minutes and just talk about Jesus and how God brought redemption through Jesus. Maybe today you feel like you're still in a pit or a prison. Perhaps you've been waiting for years for God to answer a prayer. Remember the 5 words that we talked about last week that changed Joseph's story. The Lord was with Joseph. And these same words are with us today. God is with us in our grief. God is with us in our times of unanswered questions and prayers. God is with us in our waiting. God is with us when others forget about us. God is with us when life seems unfair. And God is with us. God's presence, God's grace to endure. Cling to the hope that the God who was with Joseph is the same God who is with us today. Amen and amen. All right, we'll take a few moments there and greet one another, and then we'll close out there with our chorus. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. All right, 6:18 as we get ready to close. Hey, let me tell you something before we sing and close out. Jim just told me, so now you know what my sermon was on. Jim just told me that God will not forgive me for those 2 jokes that I shared. Because he said they were so bad. 6:18. It only takes a spark. Let's sing it this morning there. It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon although in His glory. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread His love to everyone. You want to pass it on. What a wondrous time is spring, when all the trees are budding, the birds begin to sing, the flowers start their blooming. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you want to sing. It's fresh like spring. You want to pass it on. I wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I found. You can depend on Him. It matters not where you're bound. I'll shout it from the mountaintop. I want the world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on. Well, let's join together for our benediction. As we leave, let us walk by faith with the Lord. May we go with God's blessing as we trust in God's goodness, mercy, and unfailing love. Amen. Amen.